Ancast is brought to you by RightStuffAnime.com. Check out some great deals on anime, manga, merchandise, figures, and more at RightStuffAnime.com. Disclaimer. The views and opinions here expressed by the participants in this show are not the views of AnimeNewsNetwork.com. Enjoy the show! Hey everybody, welcome to Ancast. I'm Zach Birchie. Hope is here.
Hello.
And we're exhausted.
Yeah.
That was a long preview guide. That was like the longest preview guide in a while, I think. That feels like the longest preview
guide. It's because there was, instead of like, usually there's 2 days that are really heavy and then 4 days that are light, it was just like 6 days of not as heavy as the two in most preview guides, but just sort of heavy.
Well, just so people understand what we're talking about here, typical anime season, you get a couple shows, like one or two shows on Monday, almost nothing Tuesday, three or four on Wednesday, between four and six on Thursday, between five and seven Friday, and between seven and eight on Saturday. Mm-hmm. Sunday is a toss-up. Usually it can go from two to five.
Yeah, Saturdays are like always the big days, and this time it was like, no, every day is a big day.
Thursday, Friday, Wednesday all day, then Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then into Monday. It was basically all day preview guide. And, I don't mean to like sit around and talk about, whatever. It's a lot of work and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just before that, we didn't really have that much of a break either. Like, we had like a few days for the holidays, but we actually wound up working a lot over the holidays because we have so many projects kind of going right mm-hmm. now.
And my work for a preview guide doubled with the plot synopsis thing.
Yeah, the new format it creates more work for us. Like, anytime we change the format of the preview guide, it creates more work for us.
Mm-hmm. But it is like, it was twice the amount of writing, certainly. But
yeah, and preparation and everything. So that takes more work, but we have evidence at this point to suggest that people prefer it. Uh-huh. So we get to keep doing it that way, which is cool. I was happy with it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, all of our kvetching about, sweating over work, whatever aside, we're gonna get some time off here coming up, so it'll be okay. So the season. Uh-huh. So we got to talk about the winter. So what do you think?
The worst anime season that I've seen in a while. But it doesn't mean there's not good things in it. It just means, like, when I say a good anime season, a bad anime season, to me, a good anime season is a season that has a lot of variety, a lot of different genres, a lot of different styles, and even if, like, everything's kind of average, which is normal, there's, like, two things that are, like, okay, so there's, like, four things that are good quality, and then, like, two things that are great, or maybe one thing that's great that people will remember. That's a good anime season. This season, the reason I say it's bad is not because there weren't, like, one or two really good things that people can watch, because there were, and that's good. Like, if there wasn't that, it would be really bad. So There's some good quality stuff in there. The issue is that the normal average, the normal whatever, most of the stuff is okay, was in fact most of the stuff is bad and ugly. If the plot wasn't bad and there were a lot of really like bad nothing plots, like stories nobody wants, the production values on everything this season were just sort of uniformly worse than I'm used to. Just a lot of dreck. A lot of things nobody likes. And our poll kind of bore that out, too. Like, there was a lot of stuff that had zero viewer interest compared to previous seasons. So, yeah, like, doesn't mean there's not a lot of good anime worth watching this season. There is, but the line between good and garbage is... the gap is much greater than it normally is. So...
Yeah, that's what occurred to me. three or four, pretty good watchable things, which is kind of... I don't want to say par for the course. It's usually more than... Well, and I don't want to say pretty good or watchable. Three or four things that seem special.
Yes.
Okay. And then, like, a dozen things that seem watchable. Right?
This is more like three or four things that seem...
Watchable.
Special.
That seem special. Three or four things that seem legitimately special.
And then a giant...
less
bowl
than a... Yeah, less...
Things that are terrible.
Significantly less than a dozen things that you would say, oh, okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of stuff where you're like, oh, nope.
Yeah, like, no. Fine was, like, summer, fall of last year, even spring, which I thought spring was boring, but there was a lot of competent, like, pretty things in it, and yeah. This is just... No, not competent, not up to the line.
Well, but let's talk about the good stuff. Yes. We can talk about the bad stuff all day and all night, but sure, let's talk about the good stuff. What was the best thing to you?
The best thing to me was Erased by a not too narrow margin. I was really impressed with... the reason I was impressed with Erased is we get, like, supernatural thrillers and, like, mystery shows all the time. I do like the, like, mediocre mystery show this season more than any of the mediocre mystery shows from previous seasons, Harachika, so that's,
yeah.
That's why I like it. I saw two episodes now, and I'm like, yep, this is still good. I like it. It's just, it's very mediocre.
Yeah, but you were a little outlier on that. Everyone else was like, meh, and you were like, no,
But it is mediocre. They're not wrong. It is mediocre, and it's not the greatest looking, especially for PA Works, but the characters are really natural and nice and cool, and I like them a lot, and the mysteries are tied into their character. It's not a standalone mystery that means nothing to the main cast. It's all tied into the main cast's personalities, which is cool. Like, that's cool. So that's, I give it a pass entirely for that. But anyway, so Erased. Usually that stuff is aimed on being smart and twisty-turny and puzzle-boxy and, like, Christopher Nolan, there's a twist at the end kind of a thing. And Erased isn't like that. It's deep, too, I guess. It's a right from the top delving into very serious, dark, like, heavy emotion, adult emotions that people don't like to think about, and it's playing with those just immediately, and then, I guess, spoilers, takes those back into a younger place in the protagonist's life due to the things that happened to him, and so he's still dealing with these, but in a regressed state, and it's interesting, like, it's a deep show while being twisty-turny, who's the murderer, why is this happening, stuff, so both of those things at once, like, to me, that's like, okay, a smart thing for all audiences, which is my favorite kind of media. It's deep, but also anybody can enjoy it. It's not just for, like, bubble pipe, you know, sort of enjoyment. But yeah.
Yeah, I watched it too. It was pretty good. I thought the pacing, maybe, like, you know, it had some pacing issues, I think. Hmm. I liked it. I really liked the characters. It had that, this was the one with the really naturalist dialogue, right?
I would say it had.
Yeah, like, people spoke like people, which is, you know, that's unique. You know, and not to knock, you know, typical anime screenwriting, but in general, dialogue in fiction is really heightened.
Of it's based off YA novels right now, so it's definitely, yeah. You know.
Yeah, so I really appreciated the dialogue. I loved the mom character. I thought that was cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a cool show. I think I'm going to wait till it's all out, unless mm-hmm. people are going nuts, like every, you know. Maybe it'll be one of those cliffhanger-y type things where every week people are, like, anticipating the next episode. And in that case, you know, then I'll probably start watching it. Mm-hmm. But if people are like, eh, it's all right, then I can wait and see how it wraps up. Mm-hmm. And then, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe I'll wait. Maybe I'll wait and see.
Mm-hmm. It is, I mentioned Harachika at the same time. Like, it is, for me, they both have the same appeal where it's just like, oh, I like these people. And if you can get that going, and it's this highly subjective, that it's a person-by-person thing, but if you can get that going in a story, like, you're kind of good even if you screw up later. So
yep.
In both of those shows, for both Harachika and Erased, it was just immediately, oh, I like these people.
Yep.
And they feel like people to me. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Some of the other stuff that stood out was, let's see here, of the three or four things. So you liked Grimgar of Fantasy and Ash more than everyone else.
Not everyone else. The poll suggests that our viewer base did like it a lot, but of the critics, you know, I think I rated it the highest of the other critics. I think I rated it the highest.
Yeah.
But reason for that being, I just I don't know, I get what it's going for. It's going for the same thing that Log Horizon was going for, and I really like Log Horizon, but Log Horizon was ugly. And I love that show, I watched the whole thing, it's very smart, but it's not, like, you know, it's kind of a low-budget fare, and this was sort of a similar thing. It's not going for anything particularly smart or anything like that, it's just, here's a bunch of kids in a fantasy setting, this is not a power fantasy, this is not a roll 6 to test your strength against dexterity, blah, blah, blah. It's not like that, it's just... Okay, here's a sword, fight this goblin. I don't know how to use a sword. I guess you're gonna get the shit beat out of you. Like, it's one of those. And so, I like that, but there's nothing particularly special about it except that the character animation is downright amazing. I was really stunned by everybody sort of looks like they're in a space together and, like, interacting, and you can kind of feel the way that, like, an environment smells or looks, you know, and people say that of, like, KyoAni and stuff like that. But with KyoAni, it sort of feels like you're perpetually in a shampoo commercial. You're perpetually in this, like, highly idealized version of reality. Grimgar feels like you're in, like, a dirty hole, and you've been given a sword, and you have to, like, get out of the dirty hole and wipe the blood off your face. It's like that. And so I like
that's
that.
The point, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's, well, I don't know, it's only one
the first episode is not doing
nothing happens in it.
The first episode really does a bad job of telling you, like, what this show's aim is, I think. There was somebody came into the forums who had read the books or whatever this is based on.
It's books, yeah.
And was talking about, you know, what to expect from the show. That sounded interesting. The show that I watched was way too boring and did not, like, I kind of got it.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, this isn't a game. And it's like, oh, so you're actually in, like, a hard scrabble, you know, fantasy world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. But the first episode just didn't, like, I'm sorry, you have to make your story compelling, exciting, interesting. Put some excitement in there. Like, you can't make the whole thing so sleepy and slow. Like,
I agree with you, and I would absolutely 100% say yes. This is not good storytelling. If the immersion didn't just, I was a mark. The immersion.
Sure. Okay. You're a mark for the immersion. Okay.
It was like, okay, if this is going for you, feel like you're in this space with these people, and it worked for me. I thought it was extremely production-wise successful. But yes, the story. You know, whatever. Nothing has happened yet at all. And none of these characters are particularly likable. They're just sort of a bunch of schmucks, schmuck kids. So, you know.
Right.
But I liked it.
So, a bunch of y'all went crazy for Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju,
mm-hmm.
Which is about... Well, why don't you break it down?
So, I was the outlier on this one. I rated it lower than all the other critics. I still gave it a 4 out of 5, but everybody else gave it, like, higher than that.
Yeah, 5.
And I liked it. It's very adult. This is adult, like, PBS show for Japanese adults. And mm-hmm. It is about, it takes place, it does not give a very specific date, but I think it is in the 70s or something. The 60s or 70s. I don't remember. They do not specifically tell you the time or place. Excuse me, they tell you the place. They don't tell you exactly what decade, but it is about a guy who kind of went to prison for some minor infraction. Like, he's a minor gang member sort of dude. And he saw a performance of Rakugo in the theater. And Rakugo is sort of an old one-man show type of, like, performance art theater. Usually, like, very light, but sort of... It's for old people. Like, straight up, Rakugo is a treasured Japanese tradition that old people enjoy. And he saw it in prison, and he was like, I want to do that for a living. And he doesn't really have anything better to do, so he just, like, harasses the master that he saw perform in the prison to teach him this, you know, this ancient style of theater. And in the show, because it's very, like, you know, prestige and PBS-y, they perform these entire routines, which are 4 to 10 minutes. You know, the longest ones can go to a half an hour. They don't have one of those of that length in this, but they have a 10-minute one that's just right in the middle of the show. And, it's just very, like, here's this guy's life story, here's how he interprets this art compared to his master and compared to this woman that he's obviously going to maybe fall in love with, that kind of thing. And it's very for Japanese adults. And it looks really nice. It's well animated, you know.
Yeah, I respected it. It did not hold my interest.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I mean, admittedly, when I watched it, I wasn't really in the mood for it. So I think I'm going to go back to it, maybe in a couple of weeks. Or whenever I feel like, you know, I kind of want something, you know, as sort of slow character drama kind of a thing. It seems great for that. Like, it seems like, oh, this is like an independent film, except anime or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Which is cool. Yeah. And I normally like that kind of thing. But the subject matter, like, Rakugo is not...
Yeah, well, it succeeds by...
It's an odd thing, man.
Yeah, it succeeds by making it more about the people than... Rakugo is great, and you should get into it. It's not that kind of sports anime,
sure,
so
yeah,
to speak.
Yeah.
It's the other kind of...
They do spend a lot of time showing you Rakugo, though.
Yeah, the idea is that you're seeing... So the 10-minute performance that they do is the protagonist, and it's his first big performance, and he's performing it in front of his gang leader, who basically told him, you're wasting your time with this, you should come back, work for me. And he's like, no, I don't want to get arrested again. So he's trying to prove to his gang leader that this is worthwhile while performing. And they did a pretty brilliant job of that, of you're just watching what's going through his head, how he reacts to laughter, how he changes his performance when he sees his friend's face in the crowd, like all that stuff. And it's 10 minutes long, but it's like, yeah, thing for adults. You know.
Well, that suggests that if you don't like it, you're not an adult.
No. That's not what I mean. I just mean it is made for that. It is made for older people.
And I should clarify, it's not that I didn't like it. It's that it just, you know, I mean, I think you kind of have to be in the mood for something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a niche thing. When I say for adult, like, Like, Frozen is a movie made for children and families. It doesn't mean you have to have a have children or be a child to enjoy it. That's what I mean when I say, you know. But
yeah. Sure. Yeah.
No, I'm going to go back to it. You're right. I get what you mean. I mean, I say, like, well, does that mean that everyone who likes it isn't it? I mean, I say that, but it's easy to interpret comments like that way. When you talk about stuff like, this is for adults, it's really easy to interpret that as, what are you saying about people who don't like
it? It's just, there aren't many anime you can say that about.
Right. Most anime, look, no one's going to argue against the fact that most anime is aimed at teenagers or people in early college.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fine. If you're older than that, then, you know, sometimes you find more value in shows like this one. Mm-hmm. But,
this is very PBS special.
Yeah, it's absolutely a PBS kind of a thing. So, yeah, I don't know. I'll go back to it at some point. Again, right now it's a respect and admire, not necessarily enjoy, but I'll get back to it. Then there's Dimension W,
right,
which is, I don't think you could come, like, it screamed Bandai Entertainment Adult Swim show from frame one. And it, like, Funimation's on the production committee for this. And they made a big stink about it back at AX. And, you know, in my opinion, good for them. Because if you're a Western company dealing with anime, maybe this is the kind of thing you should fund. Because there's a whole lot of sales data that indicates this is the kind of thing that people buy in big numbers. Bigger numbers than usual for anime.
Absolutely.
The show itself was okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't love it, but I was intrigued by it. I really liked how it looked.
Mm-hmm. I liked the art design. I already wrote about this in my review, I guess, but my biggest issue with it was I don't know about Kantakame as a... I like him a lot, but I don't know about him as an action director. I just don't think his style gels with that. But, you know, the story has been written for him. It's based on a manga. Yeah. So if the story's good, you know, it's okay if the action scenes aren't great. But he's not a Watanabe. He is... His specialty lies in fan service, little character moments, like cotton candy escapism. That's what he's good at. And so seeing that reflected in this was weird. It, you know, is weird. If you were put off by the fan service in the first episode, given my knowledge of this guy's work, I would say brace for that. It's probably not going to go away. There's probably going to be a lot of fan service in the show. So,
yeah, I don't know. I dug it. The story didn't really, like, grab me, but I'm willing to give it a few more episodes. That's a Sunday show, so that's cool. I'm definitely going to watch more of it. I really want to see where it goes. Mm-hmm. I want to give it a nice, like, long couple episodes. See
how it is of the four things that people seem to be. Of the four things that we mentioned that people seem to be excited about that aren't sequels, that is the one I'm most trepidatious about. It's the one I feel has the most... Yeah, of the four. Even Grimgar. I think Grimgar has more, like, I think I know where this is going and what it's going to be. Dimension W has, to me, the most room to go, oh, shit, like, just implode. Hopefully it won't, but that also means it has a lot of room to become a lot better. It's just in a really unsteady place right now, I think.
Yeah.
A lot of potential, a lot of room to fuck up.
Before we get to sort of the more controversial ones, maybe there's a little controversy, a touch, but, I also watched that show and I did want to discuss it with you. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, I'm going to take a deep breath. Okay. I'm going to calm down and then I'm going to very calmly say that I think the new Lupin the Third is maybe the most impressive television anime production I have seen in a very, very long time.
That's right. See, we didn't cover that for the preview guide because it was a fall thing that Crunchyroll was like, all right, we have it now. Here we go.
Yeah, now we're gonna start simulcasting it halfway through. So there's 14 episodes available. And this morning I realized I have not watched the new Lupin yet. Mm-hmm. And I clicked on the new Lupin on Crunchyroll. And then my brain exploded into happiness.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? What? Like, whoa, this is so good.
I intended to watch one episode of that because I was just like, new Lupin, I'll give it a sample. I intended to watch one episode. I watched seven of them. Seven. It's really good. So, I mean, technically, to me, the best show of the season is, I mean, it's close to Erased, but I know the best show.
Oh, no, it's Lupin.
It's Lupin. But
come on. That's operating on a level so far above every, like, the direction in the first episode alone.
Well, it's a personal taste.
The shot choice.
Yeah, but it's a personal taste thing.
Hope, we're talking about our personal taste.
I know, I'm saying
we are not. Like, the thing is, critics do not speak with an overwhelming, omnipotent authority. When I say this is the coolest and best thing, I mean for Zach Birchie. I don't mean for you. And I think the audience knows that.
I understand that. I was saying, I'm not sure if I like it more than Erased, me personally, and that was
Okay, well, that I... Well, all right.
But...
There's no accounting for taste,
but it's real close. Like, so the most impressive show of the season is the second half of Lupin the Third. And you should just go watch it because holy shit, like it's really impressive.
God, it's impressive.
It's too good. I kept waiting for, I was like, okay, well they put their, see this happens a lot with these serialized like episodic story type things where it's like, okay, they put their good story in the one in episode 1-2, around episode 4 and 5 it's going to get crappy and maybe we'll have cool stylish action scenes but the writing will be bad. No, they nailed the tone of what Lupin is supposed to be his absolute best every single episode.
It's,
like,
it's ideal. It's ideal Lupin. Yeah. It is the ideal Lupin.
It is exactly what you want.
Like, I am not like a super creative person. I'm not saying that I had the solutions to this. All I'm saying is that when I saw this Lupin, I said, oh, this is the ideal Lupin that, like, I think in my imagination, this is what I always wanted this show to look like.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it is striking a chord with, this is the perfect representation of this.
Right, and also...
Which
and also
is great. That's so cool.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's most impressive for how it looks and for the timing of the action scenes and the jokes. Like, the jokes are funny.
Yeah, the jokes are funny.
It's great.
Yeah.
But the writing, too, like, it's hard to get those characters perfect. And I think what this did was it pulled the style and the update and the maturity kind of Fujiko Mine... And it put it back into the show as it should be. It's still for families. Like, Zenigata is not the horrible monster he's in Fujiko Mine. They left him alone. But they also didn't make him... The worst Lupin makes Zenigata a, like, clownish buffoon who's just stupid and that's it. And this restored some of his, like... some of his capability to him and made him more entertaining. He's more entertaining when he's kind of a rival. Like, he's dumb, but he's still a strong rival who knows his police work. To Lupin, and all that stuff is there. Like, the characters are perfect. Fujiko is perfect. She's not a dumb, greedy bimbo. She is a smart, enterprising girl who can, like, you know, there's a line where she gets the best of Lupin again, and Jigen says, like, what a horrible woman, and Lupin says, what a great woman. And, like, that's the character, so it's like, they got it perfect. They got all this stuff perfect. And I haven't even gotten to a Goemon episode, so they also know that the Goemon episode comes, like, way later because he's the least interesting. They got everything right.
That's fun. I loved Fujiko Mine. Like, I thought Fujiko Mine was the best Lupin thing ever. And Fujiko Mine was basically like punk rock. It was danger. It was the dangerous version of Lupin, right?
This is
taking that and kind of refining it down and polishing it up and taking it back to a more family-friendly, more traditional Lupin story.
Yeah.
And that the end result of that is I really love Fujiko Mine, but I appreciate it more now as an artistic kind of also or sort of like an alternative, like a spinoff.
I feel like it was a shot in the arm for that franchise.
Yes,
like they've been trying to update Lupin for decades, and it's been shaky. And they haven't really gotten what a modern Lupin should really, really be like. And then Fujiko Mine was like kind of a crazy way to adult deconstruction, but it was a shot in the arm to rejuvenate what the show itself should be.
Yeah, it almost feels like that show allowed them to really understand why this franchise works, and this show is the result of that examination.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea if that... Whatever. Yeah. It would be nice if that were true, because it would be nice and poetic.
Yeah, well,
and it would stand a reason
though,
because this show seems informed by that show.
Yeah.
At least enough to make it cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, that's enough gushing about Lupin. If you have not watched it, just go to Crunchyroll, click on the first episode. That's all you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
The show will present itself to you, and then you don't even need to listen to my rambling... people were hyped up about Dagashikashi for some reason. The girl, I believe, is the internet's waifu.
Right. It's all about that girl right now.
So, which is fine. I thought it was fine. It kind of reminded me, I thought it was much more of a romantic comedy, but afterward, like, everyone was telling me, like, nah, the manga, like, doesn't, like, the manga isn't a romantic comedy right now, but there's not very many chapters of it, so nobody knows where it's going to go.
Uh-huh.
So, the first episode, to me, was like, this is a romantic comedy.
Mm-hmm.
They're setting up a love triangle. That's what this is.
It struck me as a four-coma show where the four panels are actually nine pages was kind of what hit me about it. And so I thought, okay, well, this is going to be... Yes, there's a love triangle, but I thought it was just going to be eternal, and it's going to be, like, jokes about snacks, and the idea is that the two girls are really hot, and, you know... Well, not really hot. They're weird hot. But weird hot is in right now with Haikyuu and all of that stuff.
Weird hot.
So, weird hot.
Yeah, the show's fine. I might see how... I think Nick is reviewing that one for us, so I'll see what he says about it, and, I don't know. We'll find out. Let's talk about Konosuba, which you had a different reaction to than most of our other critics, and in general the reaction I'm seeing online. So this show is sort of a trapped in a game kind of a thing, except he's dead.
I don't have that strong of feelings about it. I wrote the longer, more impassioned review that I did because I knew it was so different from what had already come in. I started writing it before all that other stuff came in. I felt like I had to make it longer when the more positive stuff came in. And I was like, okay, I feel like I really have to justify why I had such a, like, this is crap. It wasn't even like, I wasn't angry. I wasn't incensed. I wasn't like, this is awful. It was just like, this is forgettable crap. And so then I had to justify it because
that was not... Hey, look, I understand it. No, I understand. It's just I watched it and I kind of, you know, I didn't necessarily agree with your take on it. I agreed with the your premise, which is that this is a show that is very hateful, which it is. Just so people understand, if you haven't watched this thing... So this is stuck in a game, except it's a guy and a girl, and imagine it's just two assholes, right? Yeah. So it's two assholes who are really hateful people, and they're
not creative, they're really shitty assholes.
The main guy is kind of shown as being, like, redeemable, right? Like, they set him up as being redeemable. Like, he has good qualities. Uh-huh. He's not, like, a complete monster, but he's a crass asshole, and so is the girl that he's with.
The guy is the cliche of how, I think every sort of the average 2chaner would
see. Yeah, he's like a Chan culture guy.
It's how they see the worst of otaku. Yeah. It's how they characterize themselves as the worst of otaku.
Right.
The girl is how they see women. And so
That's how you're interpreting that.
Oh, come on. It's totally true. You know it.
I think saying this is how they interpret women is too much.
It's cliche.
It's easier for me to see because I think you have a point there. But I think saying like that's what it is, like it's easier for me to see this as just these two characters drive all this mean-spirited humor.
Mm-hmm.
That's like they had to come up with a comedy hook for this. That's their comedy hook.
Right.
Everything fell in line behind that.
Okay, so the big thing that jumps out to me that sort of makes this more than just, these are two bad people and it's this is how whoever wrote this kind of sees the world and it's kind of nasty and toxic, is that the main girl is over and over, the joke about her is that she's stupid.
Yeah.
Nothing in her behavior suggests that she's stupid.
It's a dumb joke.
Nothing at all.
Well, so here's the thing.
She's stupid because she's a girl. Like, yeah. That's terrible.
I'm not saying the show doesn't have some sexist comedy in it. This is a show that is about, like, okay, so the main guy we've identified, this is supposed to be generic Chan culture dickhead, right? Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what is generic Chan culture dickhead's response when he sees anime girl?
Right.
Well, he's shitty and he objectifies
her. Calls her an object and yeah.
Well, okay. So, I don't know.
I'm not saying like, oh, this is good to the guy, because it's not. It's just sort of uniformly hateful. And uniformly hateful can be useful. Again, I wrote this in the review too, but it has to be more creative than that to me. This was the laziest form.
Yes, I didn't think the show was a laugh riot. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I did not find it offensive at all.
No, I didn't find it offensive at all either. I thought it was lazy and stupid.
Well, yeah, but you were pointing out, like, well, this show is kind of has, like socially there's an issue with
this. I felt like I had to write that purely because I was the only person writing a particularly negative review.
Yeah.
That's
the thing for me that blew my mind was that nobody else seemed quite as stunned by how bad the animation
that
is.
That I was shocked by.
The animation is garbage.
It is real bad looking.
Trash. Yeah, no good. Studio Dean, man, dropping the ball again.
Dean May.
Well, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, so there is also a lot of bad stuff. We don't need to sit here and talk about it.
You know what? On a more positive side, so there's a lot of good sequels to things people like. Ass Class came back and it was strong. Snow White came back and it was strong. And the weird thing is, like, the shorts, which usually people neglect because they're not any good, like, I thought the shorts were really funny this season. There's three of them. There's the marshmallow thing, which is people are jokingly referring to Paul Blart the anime, and it's just 3 minutes each week of this. This girl obviously wants to fuck Paul Blart. Paul Blart does not realize that girl wants to fuck him. That is the entire joke. But it's funny because it's not like coy. It's raunchy. So she's just deliberately saying like you, me, bed right now, and he's like, oh, marshmallows. Like that's it. That's the joke. And then the other two are Galco-chan, which is just three girls making filthy jokes, but not like in a coy fun way. They're just like awkward, terrible high schoolers talking about periods and stuff like that. So, you know, that's funny. And then Seko Boys, which everybody is really happy about, which is a show about a quad of busts like that you would see in a college somewhere. Medici and Mars and Roman gods and like figures from mythology and history, and they're idols, and so they have an idol manager who has to literally haul the busts to places, and they're very heavy and they sing and stuff like that. It's funny. I can't explain why. It's just really funny. So yeah,
cool.
Yeah, the screenshots for that look they look pretty funny.
They're pretty great.
I want to see that. I'll have to seek that one out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's just a lot of chaff.
There's a lot of chaff.
We had one show that we were pretty sure people just voted for it for hate watches.
Yeah.
Which we don't do. So, I mean, we try not to do them. We kind of did it for Chaos Dragon, but that was an overwhelming, like, that polled well.
Yeah, and clearly
that pulled really well, and people obviously so we went ahead and did it, and people didn't really seem to have a huge problem with you. In fact, people seemed to enjoy it.
Divine Gate just pulled higher than we were expecting, but not high enough.
Yeah, not high enough to justify it. It still did well. Like it still didn't do well. It did better than you would expect, like we said.
Yeah, we were like, how come this isn't in the trash bin? It's in the not quite.
No, wait, you missed the trash. It's like right next to the trash. But you meant to put this in the garbage.
And it was like, and we thought, and it was like, is this because irony? And when we looked at the forums, it was everybody was commenting that they voted for that for irony purposes. And we're like, we can't do that every time.
Yeah, we wouldn't like assume, oh, these people must be voting for this ironically because we didn't like the show. Like, the forums response was like, oh, I can't wait to watch someone rip that show apart week to week.
Well, we assumed based on community votes and critic votes, which were all 1-1-0, you know, like, so it's like, this must be.
Yeah, we have to get some kind of a critical mass of interest in we know we're giving this show to someone who isn't going to like it. The show has to be, the consensus has to be that the show is a laughing stock, and we need like really strong evidence that there's a pretty okay sized audience for someone just taking it apart every week.
This was not quite there.
Yeah,
so.
Not quite there. So sorry, guys. There's a lot of sequels. Otherwise, I don't know. You know, thinking about it now, and frankly, having had my mind basically just blown out my ears by how good that Lupin thing was. I'm like, well, this is a fine season.
Yeah. It's like with Lupin the Third in it, it's real good.
Yeah, so I guess my perception has changed a little bit. But it does feel like a weaker, like not a lot of excitement.
No. There's a couple of good things that people can cheer around with that.
But this year has a lot of excitement in it. Like there's a lot of stuff coming up. Like
spring is gonna be explosive from what I'm looking at. I was just looking at what's in it, and it's like, oh my god! Like that's where all the animators went. That's why the season, regardless of what you think of the plots of the show, looks kind of ugly because everybody's animating stuff for the future. Like,
everyone's working on big ass things.
Yeah.
So wait till spring, summer, fall probably will be pretty good. Pretty good. Phoenix Wright and Attack on Titan this year.
Yeah. And part four of JoJo's.
Right. JoJo's.
Stuff that has people drawing a lot.
Yep. Awesome. All right. Let's get to the Twitter questions. But before we do that, it's time for a word from our sponsor.
Partners, if you're in the market for a Gundam, and I know you are, you gotta come on down to RightStuffAnime.com. You know, I love Gundam so much, they call me Big Zaku. And I gotta tell you, you come on down to RightStuffAnime.com, we got Gundam inventory that will blow you away. You want long-awaited, emotionally complicated Gundams like Turn A Gundam? Well, I tell you what, we got all the Turn A Gundam, all the movies, all the episodes. We can send you home tonight with Turn A Gundam. You want old Gundam? I got Gundam so old it needs your help with its Medicare Part D plan. That's right. You can take home the entire original Mobile Suit Gundam on Blu-ray in HD plus the movie trilogy on DVD today for a an everyday low price that includes free shipping on orders over $50. We're stopping your tracks right there, partner, because I'm not done yet. You want Zeta Gundam? We're partner right around the corner in March. We got a Zeta Gundam for you that you can pre-order today. And if you like reading, if you like settling your peepers on words and pictures, and I know you do, we got Mobile Suit Gundam The Origin in hardcover. Now that's good book reading. So come on down to RotStuffAnime.com and take yourself home a Gundam tonight. Well, my name ain't Big Zeku. Yee-hoo!
Okay, we're back. We understand this is kind of a short show. It's Friday. We're taping this. You are getting this probably 40 minutes after we're done taping it. Yeah, we'll be back next week with a more regular show. I'm working on what that interview will be, or if it'll be a series discussion, we'll figure it out. But let's go ahead. We got a couple of Twitter questions here to get to before you and I finally get to take a little time off. So let's, all right. A Mind Half Full asks, are there any shows you didn't like the first episode of that you plan to keep watching because you think it has potential? I mean, for you, sure, right?
Yeah, I kind of routinely do that. I check out the second episode of almost anything I didn't think was trash. And, you know, like, a couple of episode twos have come out. I was trying to think if any of them were unusually like, oh, this is a step up. I think, just the second episode of Harajika made me more sure that I liked it. Because at first I was like, oh, I don't know, guys. And this was like, no, I'm more sure that I like it. Apart from that, I don't think anything. Everything's just kind of been what I expected it to be so far, so...
Yeah.
Based on the first episode.
Yeah. For me, if I don't see a lot of potential in the first episode, I wait till the end and then watch it if people say it was good. That's how I do it. I don't have time for anything else. Like, if I sat and watched shows where, you know, it's like, well, this isn't that great, but I'm just going to sit here and watch it anyway. Mm-hmm. Man, I got a lot of stuff I want to watch. Like, really want to watch. Like, anime I haven't been able to get to yet. I will watch that first. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. By extension, asks Yellow Redfield, are there shows you don't plan to continue watching, but which could ostensibly improve down the line? So that's kind of my attitude towards a lot of this stuff. Right. Like, Erased. Seems like a good show, but I'm going to wait and see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Some of this other stuff is the same way for me. I mean, that Rakugo Shinju thing, if people say, like, yeah, this totally is great, you know. I mean, Dimension W didn't blow me out of the water, but I will watch it week to week. So, I don't know. What about you?
I watch things week to week now just because I feel like it makes my job easier.
Yeah.
And it gives me stuff to discuss, and it's just nice. But, like, yeah, there's a lot of stuff, like, most of the trash or things that I neglected. Like, I, you know, honestly, since it came up, Konosuba was bad in a interesting way. So I am kind of keeping an ear out for what people say happens in that show later because I am curious. The bad animation will stop me because I think it's hilarious. I like laughing at it. So I might come back to Konosuba if people say that it doesn't get boring. If it's just outlandishly bad or they say, no, it's really good, you know, as long as they don't hear, it got boring, then I might come back to it. But yeah like all the other stuff that was like not fun bad, like Divine Gate and... Divine Gate, people were like, I already watched, but I didn't think it was that fun and bad myself.
Yeah.
So, you know, that stuff, or BBK, Barinky, you know, like, because it's 3D CG, like, not so much. But, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. I will probably come back to Degashikashi, depending on how it goes. That's the thing where if someone says, yeah, it's entertaining, then that is 100% like a Sunday, I got nothing else to do, let's watch anime, this seems like fun kind of a thing. I really like that candy-colored aesthetic. No pun intended, I guess. The show's about candy, but
right.
I really like that sort of lush kind of pop aesthetic
mm-hmm.
that they're going with. Really crisp lines and bright colors. Yeah, I like that mm-hmm. stuff. So, and it seemed funny enough, I guess. Did I laugh?
I did not think it was funny, which was my issue with it. I was like, this looks great, and it's breezy.
I found it amusing. I didn't laugh.
I didn't,
but it was kind of amusing.
It didn't make me... I didn't right. gel with the sense of humor.
I don't have, like, big demands from a show like that.
All right.
Custom Zaku asks, is Dimension W more likely to be the next super hit or the next Darker Than Black, as in a sci-fi thriller that few will remember? I'm not sure I would characterize Darker Than Black that way, but if it is the next Darker Than Black, that would make sense, because as Funimation has indicated several times, Darker Than Black was a surprise, really great seller for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they came out with that inexplicable, like, limited edition thing, because people love Darker Than Black. I think it is more in line with being the kind of hit that Darker Than Black was.
I agree.
It seems like that right now.
It's the style.
Yeah. So that's what it feels like. If it does better than that, it's because the storytelling it's got the aesthetic. If it leaves the stratosphere, it's because the storytelling allowed.
Yeah, the thing this season that has the style to be a big hit in the West is actually Lupin the Third, but because it's Lupin, it won't be, because nobody's familiar with it, you know. But it has the style, certainly.
Yeah. Jeff Tebbets wants to know, what aspects of Rakugo Shinju were you impressed with?
Character writing, I guess. I mean, it looks nice, but more than that, it is a... very, like, it's dealing with, you know, like, heavy, weird emotions and feelings about becoming an artist and stuff like that. It's a character piece.
Cool. Let's see. Rexteen asks, the reaction to the CG in BBK BRNK seems kind of overwrought to me. Is the CG really that uncanny valley? To me, yes.
Yeah, it's bad.
I understand that my reaction might seem outsized, but I have to impress upon people. This ruins the aesthetic of anime for me. Mm-hmm. If it's Escape from Paradise, Expelled from Paradise, got close. Mm-hmm. In shots, you could tell. It will get there. I'm convinced it'll get there because mm-hmm. Expelled from Paradise and the Guilty Gear stuff looks like they're getting there. It's not quite there yet, but they're getting there. It's just that the BBK stuff, I can't watch it. I have no interest in your characters when they're bad-looking CG models that move at 3 frames a second.
The best... So there's 3 things they need to do for me to, like, be able to watch this the same way I watch 2D anime. One, incorporate a little, like, squash and stretch, which they're kind of getting there, but not quite. Like, employ some malleability and softness. Two... allow the models to get dirty, because you can't, like, that was the thing in Expelled from Paradise. Truck blows up, Dingo rolls on the ground, he gets up, and there's no dirt. You know, get a little dirty, get some blood, you know, that feels like it'll stick to things. And then 3, make the hair a different fucking texture from their weird little doll bodies, so it's not like chunks of Play-Doh hair that's tacked onto their head and swishes weird. Like, do those 3 things, and you're closer. And stop cutting the frames. Stop cutting frames out of it. Stop it.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Like, this is basically, like, I think you guys are overreacting. Look, it's a personal response. This is a personal response. This is aesthetic taste. It is not right or wrong. So, sorry that our reaction doesn't quite mirror yours, but I don't think I'm overreacting. Because I'm just telling you how I honestly feel. AngelXO3 wants to know, do you feel anime with mostly or all girl cast are pigeonholed in specific genres like Eki, Harem, Magical Girls, and Slice of Life? No, I don't.
No? It just depends.
Anime has a lot of shows with all girl casts, and they're pretty much every genre you can think of.
Right. Some of them are obviously aimed at girls, some of them are aimed at otaku, some are aimed at both. Lots of different like comedic and dramatic range there, you know.
Yeah, there's a show called Shirobako.
Yes.
That doesn't belong in any of those you just listed. Let's see. Julian Moran asks, how do you feel about 3 Sword Art Online clones existing all at once? Will it open the space-time continuum?
It's a lot.
Well, is 3 par for the course?
It's
like, since Sword Art
normal,
Online, there's usually at least, like, 2, you're in the game.
I think we have hit critical mass recently.
Yeah. Well, you do. With any fad, you're going to hit critical mass at some point, right?
Yeah.
Let's see. Carlo Gando asks, what kind of influence do you think Funimation has on the production of Dimension W? I doubt they have creative input. In fact, if they're smart, they don't really have much creative input at all. Like, that's not their job. Their job isn't to dictate to those Japanese artists what to make. That's a manga.
Mm-hmm.
It's an existing story that they got a talented studio and a talented director and a whole bunch of talented people to make.
Right.
So, I don't know why they would come in. I don't know what, like, it would be weird to me if Funimation waded in, especially on a manga adaptation, and said, here's what you have to do. Like, I think they just found the right project.
Yeah, they do sit in on, so they released production logs for Dimension W on their YouTube channel, and they show Funimation representatives sitting in on script meetings and stuff like that. So they have approval on some of that stuff, but I don't think they have so much input. I think they're just sort of listening, and if they have, like, a big problem, they say something.
Yeah, well, approval is different from...
Yeah.
Like, there's no way for us to know whether or not English, like, Funimation staff is meddling. We can't tell. You can't tell.
Yeah.
I would think... I would give them the benefit of the doubt, maybe, that maybe you let those guys just do their jobs.
I think that's what's going on, and they're just they are the footage that they released. They are sitting in on script meetings and animation, like they're there. There's white dudes in there, so you know.
All right. I mean, I don't know how that process works. Whatever happened, the show came out, and I, you know, if you asked me what I thought, I would say this looks like whoever, like this looks like a smart investment for an American company involved with animation, Japanese animation. Mm-hmm. It just looks like it seems like a smart investment, because that totally seems like the kind of thing Westerners like. Anyway, Invalid Name asks, do either of us read light novels or have thoughts on their recent growth here? Oh, you do. You read Durarara.
I read the first volume of Durarara, and I really liked it. I've read in pieces. I didn't like sit down and read the books, but when browsing Barnes & Noble, I flipped through a couple pages of a lot of light novels that are released, and they range. You can definitely tell, like, either because of the translation or because of the voice of the original author, there is a lot of range in the writing ability of them, from absolute garbage to good to, you know. And I think reading the first Durarara all the way through, it's good. Ryoga Narita has a way with characterization and words that is kind of above par for what light novel expectations, I think.
Yep.
Even though it still feels like you're reading a translation of a Japanese thing, but you can kind of push through that and go, oh, okay, no, this is really smart and well-structured. And the way that he describes Izaya's mentality really gave me a new appreciation for the character in the show. It's a lot. Izaya and Mikado, like, read those books. It's really strong stuff.
Yeah, I've read about a third of Spice and Wolf, the first Spice and Wolf, and I had watched the show, so I just, I was like, I watched the show.
That happens. Okay.
Yep. Yeah. Does it have color pages from the film? Like, Right. No, it was fine. I just, you know, as with manga, the same thing with manga, like, if I can watch the show, I'm gonna watch the show. I'm a lazy bastard.
I would say, I mean, Durarara is all I have to go on for reading a whole thing, but if you like the show, you should read the books. It's very different. It's not just play-by-play. It has a very different feel to it. The places that they cut scenes and the way they describe characters is completely different.
Okay. All right, last question. Hazukari, a friend of the show, asks, while this season doesn't have any real hits, do you think any of the shows that there are have the potential to become classics in the long run? Well, we don't know if there are any hits yet.
Yeah,
it's too early to tell. Sometimes you have stuff out of the gate, but things can build over time. So we'll know whether or not something's really building, if something really builds, actually. I was about to say, like, by the middle of the season, and I'm like, you know, it's actually not, you can't really predict it like that. It's, if a show's storytelling really starts taking off, the minute it does, everyone will start talking about it. Mm-hmm. The Lupin show already is classic. That Lupin show is now like, okay, this is the best Lupin version. I kind of, like, that's such its own thing that you almost keep it outside the season. It's like, I don't really think of it. It's hard to think of it as part of the season.
Yeah, well, right? I mean, it's not going to be a hit over here. It's just, if you have any curiosity, you should watch it. It's really good.
I mean, Lupin show doesn't have to be successful in order to be a classic.
I guess not. I assume it's successful in Japan. I have no idea.
Let me put it to you this way. The new Star Wars movie is so in line with the good Star Wars movies that I consider it among the classic Star Wars films.
Right.
Even though it came out 3 weeks ago.
Right. No, I understand what you mean. I understand what you mean by tone. I was just saying, like, talking about a hit in the West, like Lupin, that's never going to happen.
Oh, yeah. Hit in the West? Is, like, the who
best,
knows?
Even though, like,
oh, no,
the
no,
best.
No. Lupin's not. No.
Like, if it didn't have Lupin characters and this was just, like, a Bebop or something like that, and it was just sort of pat and somebody could just license it and release it, this would do gangbusters. But it's not. It's tied to Lupin the Third, and people are like, what's that? Is that old? I don't care. And it's like, no, but it's good. You know.
Okay, well, that wraps us up. We are going to get some R&R, and then we're back hard at work next week. But thanks for listening. Yeah.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, that's our show. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a rating or a review. We'd really appreciate it. And I'll see you all next week.